Okay, gentlemen, so we're learning the halachas of Tumas Kohanim, and currently we are basically going through some of the dinim in Simin Shin Samach Tes, etc. Shin Samach Tes says that a kohen can't be metame to the mace, can't be metame to anything that's porish min hamace. There are dinim of like the liquid that comes out of the mace afterwards. There are dinim of the mace that rots. All these things are usser, and the kohen can't be metame to a gola. The kohen can't be metame to a dofa. The din is also that a kohen is not allowed to be sadash and nechrash bo kever, ve'en yadua mekomo, and eretz ha'amim, a kohen can't be metame. The sadash and nechrash bo kever is called the beis hapras, right? There's sadash and nechrash bo kever and sadash and nevad bo kever. These are called the beis hapras in Shas. It's effectively a suffix, right? I don't know where the tumah is. Afilu hacha, we say that a kohen can't be metame. We don't get involved in our conversation about whether Suffolk Tuma versus Hayachid and Suffolk Tuma versus Harabim is Tame or Tahar, right? We noted yesterday that there's a Suffolk in the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch raises whether a Kohen is allowed to become Tame to Suffolk Tuma in Rishus Harabim, which you pass in Sveiko, is fekel tahar. Do I assume that it's considered a suffik iser and the kohen can't be metami to it? That's the suffik of the Minchas Chinuch. And Rav Shechter discussed that maybe the issue is the nature of the din of tumas kohanim. Is the din of tumas kohanim based on krev lames, or is it based on tumah lames? Now, Lamaisa, the din of a Beis HaPras, which is only Tomei Midrabanan, Taisvis says in Maseches Ksubis, basically saying the Badei HaShulchan on page Resh Peites, Taisvis in Ksubis says that the reason for Beis HaPras is because of the Suffolk Tumah and Rishus HaRavim. People walk through the field. The fact that the Kohen cannot go in the Beis HaPras would seem to indicate that a Kohen cannot become Tamei to a Suffolk Tumah in Rishus HaRavim. That seems to be the Pashtus. Reb Hirsch Pesach Frank brings this Raya. It seems to be a very legitimate Raya. Right, we see that a Kohen can't become Tamei, even though it's a Suffolk Tumah in Rishus HaRabim, because people walk through the field. So many of the Achronim have a dichui to the Raya. There are two psukim in the Torah. There's one to pasuk on nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. Then there's another pasuk in the Torah where the Torah says that al kol nafshos meis lo yavo. The koyah, the nefesh lo yitama ba'amav, is a din in tumah. But there's another din, which is not a din in the tumah. It's a din in al kol nafshos meis lo yavo, which is don't come near a nefesh hameis. Ostensibly, what we're trying to say now, and this point is made by Reb Henoch Egish in the Marcheshes and Chelek Aleph Simen Beis in the footnote. And I didn't find the sefer in the base medrash today because someone stole it off the shelf. Reb Itzel Aponovicher in the sefer Zecher Yitzchak. Apparently, they both have the same shtickle Torah, which is that maybe the reason why it's usher for a kohen to go into base hapras, even though it's a suffik tumah rishus harabim, is not out the din of lo nefesh lo yitama. The din of nefesh lo yitama is the din of tumah. Suffolk Tumah Rishus HaRabim, there's no din tumah. But, right, there's the other din of Al Kol Nafshos Meis Lo Yavo. if we plug this back into our Hakira from yesterday, to Rav Schechter's Hakira, is the nature of Tumas Kohanim to become Tameh? Is the nature of Tumas Kohanim not to come in contact with Tuma? So one could distinguish and say that, you know what? Beidus is Amen. They're both correct. They're two different psukim, though. The Nefesh Lo Yitama is a din in Tuma. Then there's another din of Alkol Nafshos Meis Lo Yavo, which would, what's it called? Alkol Nafshos Meis Lo Yavo, which would tell me that a Kayin, even if he's not becoming Tumay, because let's say Safek Tumay Rishos Harabim, but still he's in the proximity of Nafshos Meis. The reason why this is important, I think, is because this kind of goes against Rav Schechter's Shtickle Torah. Rav Schechter was makel on the shayla of Kohanim flying in airplanes on top of Chulon. Someone pointed out afterwards, one of my friends noted that it's not only the planes from Eretz Yisrael, which at that point left over Chulon, the Haredi community got them to change the flight paths so they don't go over Chulon, but planes that go into LaGuardia Airport, there is a cemetery right there on the Jackie Robinson Parkway, no? And the planes very often go over that cemetery. And over there, the Hesber that Rav Schechter has, that the plane is over the clouds, doesn't help because it's near landing, it's near takeoff, it ain't over the clouds yet. It's not pashut, right, to fly into LaGuardia. Right? If you remember, like every like year and a half, someone posts on Facebook pictures of a Kohen sitting on the plane wearing a plastic bag. You know? And like you think, like, what is this idiot doing? But it's not so pashut that you're allowed to fly on top of the cemetery. Not pashut at all. But Schechter's cheshbin to be megal is because the din of Tumas Kohanim is a din in Kreva Lemes, and over here, you're not Karev Lemes. Taki, you're becoming Tummy, but you're not Karev Lemes. If what we are saying from the Zecher Yitzchak is correct, that there are two different psukim, Alkol Nafshos Meis Lo Yavo, and the pasuk of Nefesh Lo Yitama, so that means that both dinim are correct, and then I don't have my kula to become Tummy in any way. I think that's a reasonable mahalach, which would undermine Rav Schechter's kula, and it will be relevant for many other dinim as well. The din of Al Kol Nafshos Meis Lo Yavo, L'cha'oira, refers to even Tumas Oihel. Even in the case when you're not going to become Tameh with Tumas Oihel, for example, and we'll talk about this later, there's a shach in Siman Shin Ayin Beis, it's Patim Beis, where the shach writes that the din of Tumas Oihel in certain cases is Midrabonim. Tumas Oihel means three things. Ohel means that I am bending on top of the mace. Ohel means that the mace is on top of me, right? Someone throws a mace over your head. That's also ohel. Ohel also means the din of ohel hamshacha, which is me and the mace are in the same room. The shach understands that ohel hamshacha might be a din drabanan, and therefore the shach tainas that maybe there's room to be mako by ohel hamshacha with a mace nachri. Because the machlokes, whether kivrei akum metame or not metame, meaning kivrei akum metame le be'oihel or not, kivrei akum is certainly metame b'mago b'masa. The shaylas are the metame be'oihel. So there are some who, based on this shach, the oil hamshach is drabonon, so they're willing to be mako on kivrei akum, etc. Now, l'cha'ira, this wouldn't work according to the Shtickel Torah, it's a Laplanificher and the Marcheshas. Because maybe the din is that Kivrei Akum is not Mitame, meaning the first din of L'Nefesh Lo Yitama Ba'amov, but the second din of Alkol Nafshos Meis Lo Yavai, right? Mehechatesi, that there's a kula over there, right? It's not abundantly clear. It's not abundantly clear that the kula of Akum would apply in both cases. Yesh lachkar on that din. So that's one ha'ara that's worth noting. Next ha'ara, the Pisvei Kshuva in Shin Ayin Beis, Se'if Katan Beis, quotes a Kshuva of the Batei Kohuna, Dimash Nahagu Eze Kohanim Hishtate Chal Kivrei Tzadikim, Ein Lehem Amash Yismochu. Kohanim sometimes go to Kivrei Tzadikim, and it's wrong, there's nothing to rely on. Even though there's a medrash that ain't tuma b'talmidei chachamim, but Tosfos doesn't learn like that medrash, and therefore it's wrong. The kula that certain kaihanim go to be metame to what's it called to be metame to tzaddikim is based on the Zohar. The Zohar says that misa is not metame; its fate is metame. So if someone is mace because of fate, so then there's tuma. If someone's a tzaddik and is mace not because of fate, then there's no tuma. Now, a few ha'aris. How many people die be'itav shel nachash? I know this sounds like a really Catholic idea, to die be'itav shel nachash, original sin. No? But how many people die without fate? Ein adam asher tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechata, Kohelas tells me. How many people die without fate? The one Baba Basra says four people. So even if you want to say that the Zohar is correct, that the Isser of Tumah is Tumah to fate, not Tumah to a dead body, and the Tzaddik is that the Tzaddik didn't have Chata'im, but I don't think that's Pashit at all, because who says these Tzaddikim didn't have Chata'im? Right, there are four people in Jewish history, like Kilav ben David and Yishai, right? Who are the other ones? There are like four people who didn't do Chatoim. But to say that the Shnipper Shaker Rebbe, as great as he might have been, right, didn't do Chatoim is very difficult. Now, in Chabad, there are some who go to Old Montefiore Cemetery, where the Rebbe is, and the Kaihanim go, and they like wear a ohel around them while they're walking through the cemetery. They get to the Rebbe, they open up their ohel, they bend over, etc. They become, it's a real thing. They're metame to the Rebbe because he's a tzaddik. So I don't think that they feel that they're being metame to kivrei tzaddikim. I think they know the piskei tshuva that you're not allowed to do that. I think they just feel that the Rebbe is dead, that the Rebbe is not dead. If the Rebbe is not dead, taka, there's no tuma. But we are not going there. I think normative Judaism assumes that the Rebbe is in fact dead. I was at his levaya. I saw him lying down on the floor. I didn't, can't say I saw him. I saw something lying on the floor covered in a talus. Like, I don't know. I think the Rebbe is taka dead. There's a discussion in the Achronim about whether there's a heter for Kohanim to go into a hospital to be mevaker chole. People die in hospitals, no? And not only do people die in hospitals, but there are nephilim in hospitals, right? Sometimes you give birth and the baby's not alive, but you can't be metame to a nephil. So it's a heter for kohanim to go into hospitals. Now, my friend, Rabbi Yaakov Jaffe, he's the rabbi now of the Rav's Minyan in Boston. It's much a scary thing. There's a shtender there that says Rav JBS. Like no one sits in the chair. It's like much scary. It's like the Rav's Minyan. So Jaffe is the Rav there. So Jaffe wrote an article about Tumas Kohanim in hospitals. You have to figure out the construction of the hospital, whether there's areas that a kohen can definitely go, because if there's a mace in the hospital, they'll take the mace out and down to the morgue in the basement, and there might not be tumah, let's say, in the atrium or in other parts of the building. Like, perhaps you can rely on that, but it's not pashut. Can the kohen go into a hospital at all? But Moshe Feinstein writes, now, if you have a hospital that rove of the people there are goyim, you can rely on the rove that even if someone is dead, it's a goyim. And you can rely on those shitos that kivrei akum is not matame lemesim. That you're not sure that the guy is dead. So behistameh, that rope of the people are dead, etc. Rope of the people are alive, so therefore you can rely on it. It's not a bad idea. And that's what Moshe writes in the tshuva, a couple of tshuvas. Moshe says this in a few places. I believe one of them I quoted yesterday in the shiur I gave at Orange Blue Red Day. I quoted a tshuva, I think a chelek beis of Evan HaEzer Simon Kuf Yudalad, where at the end of that tshuva, I think Ramosha also rehashes his shita that Kehanu allowed to go into hospital to be Mavaka Chola, etc. Reb Feivel Cohen points out that's not at all pashut, because I have a cheskes chaya on this individual. I say Reuven is probably still alive. Shimon is probably still alive. But I know something called statistics. And in statistics, what's the likelihood that there is no corpse anywhere in the hospital? But I just tell on the cheskes chaya, this guy, that guy, the other guy. But who says I can tell on the cheskes chaya when everything is put together? That's not at all pashut. And that's what Feivel Cohen's taina in the Ba'adei HaShulchan on page 290. This issue should depend on whether you're allowed to eat milk, whether you're allowed to drink milk, no? It's well known in our yeshiva that Rav Shechter does not drink milk. A number of years ago, Rav Shechter went on a trip to South Africa, and he was speaking to various farmers, and they tell him that when they shecht the cows at the end of the life, a high percentage of the cows are treifus. No? High percentage of the cows are treifus. And therefore, it's such a high percentage that even though they mix all the milk together, right, they don't just take the milk from Elsie, they take the milk from Elsie and Shandy and whatever the name of the cows are, and they mix it all together. But it's not going to be batel b'shishim based on the percentage of treifus. So if Rav Shechter doesn't drink milk, meaning, although there's a cheskas not treifa on every single cow, but statistics says that there's a lot of treifus in the cow farm, and Rav Shechter says yechoshesh for the dinim of statistics. Moreno Reb Usher Weiss has a tshuva where he, I should have said Moreno Reb Shechter and Hagon Reb Usher Weiss, I should have like said it a little differently, but Reb Usher Weiss has a tshuva where he says, who says halacha is maskim to the science of statistics? Right? Halacha says that Aishtel on a chazaka, this individual, that individual, that individual. So each individual has a cheskas chai. Each cow has a cheskas in a treifa. Mehecha tesi, that means that what? That I put everything together and say, oh, statistically speaking, there's a corpse in the hospital. Statistically speaking, right, we know that the milk is going to be treif. It's not so pashut, this kasha that Reb Feivel Cohen has, that because Reb Feivel's assuming, like Reb Shechter, that the halacha is misyaches to statistics. Those of you who have gotten into smicha, take a bechina with me. Often I give a bechina on Hari Yastaf Hei Amid Beis. So Hari Yastaf Hei Amid Beis, the Gemara has a yesod that we're learning. We have a yesod of Rav Papa that Ein Misa B'Tzibur. That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara asks Akasha, right, what's the source? The Gemara says, oh, the source is from Sardar Rosh Chodesh, however that works. So the Gemara says, Sardar Rosh Chodesh, maybe it's a Suffolk mace. Who says someone died? Meaning, Sardar Rosh Chodesh is the pshat that everyone from Klai Yisrael donates money to the Trumas HaLishka, and then they take some money out of the Trumas HaLishka, right? It could be, it's likely that somebody died. So I see from there, Ein Misa B'Tzibur. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, no value from there. Maybe it's a suffix. Suffix, you know for sure somebody died. That's a Taisa Rosh's kasha. Rashi apparently is going to say, no, that's not a kasha at all. There's a Taisa HaRosh says, I hold the statistics. Mahalacha. Rashi, right, who is the victim of the Taisa HaRosh's kasha, Rashi is going to say, no, I shtel on the cheskas chai on every individual. Now, any of you remember this conversation from your smicha bechinas? Okay. You remember it also. Right? So I think this is all dependent on this shaila about whether the halacha recognizes the institution of statistics. So that's the next issue. That's the next issue that comes up in Simin Shin Samach Tes. Yes, sir.
You mentioned this whole deal regarding Moshe and Bakei Shulchan regarding the Kohen being the back of Kohen. What about, some, let's say, are we more machmir for second? It's not a makom mitzvah, let's say someone works,
Right, so working in a hospital would also be an issue, yeah, for sure. We're more machmir definitely in Eretz Yisrael, because you don't have the rove of Goyim. In Shari Tzedek Haspel, I believe, Rav Waldenberg used to be the posik there, the Tzitz Eliezer, now Rav Asher Weiss is the posik there. I believe there's a sign in Shari Tzedek. I remember going to it was a long time ago, my grandfather died, I'm pretty sure I saw the sign, Asur L'Kehanem, Amutur L'Kehanem, right? Whether they make a whole cheshbin, right? They know if there's a guy dies, hang up the sign, Peham, don't go in. Let's say you're there already. Okay, that's a pasha. We'll talk about those dinim in Shin Ayin Beis Shin Ayin Gimel, where they have to run out, etc. Not pasha.
To me, don't mean even for professionals. It wouldn't be so pasha if you are a doctor or
So a kohen being a doctor, I won't talk about in 5 minutes. We'll get there. There's a din in that a kohen cannot be metame to an aver min hachai. That's in Simin Shin Samach Tes. I'd say sifalos, but it's the only sif. So the Pisrei Tshuva Os Gimel Kotzen Anayda B'Yehuda that Koyim Shenechtach Raglav V'yesh Basar Ba'ofen Shemitamim the Pashat Sh'asu Akorin L'Hachziko Etzlo Kedei L'Haris Asher Nasibol Man Yukamri Rachamam Man Yukamri Rachamim Olav. Now you have a Koyim who was an amputee. They took off his leg. The Koyim wants to walk around with his legs that people have Rachmanis on him. Zak the Nodib Yehuda and Pisrei Tshuva quotes, you're not allowed to do it because a Kohen cannot be metame to an Aver Min Hachai. Even though it's his own Aver Min Hachai, the Kohen can't be metame to his own Aver Min Hachai. That is what the Pisrei Tshuva says. The din is only if it's Basar Gidin Ba'atzamos. So as a kid, I had a friend whose finger got chopped off. Now, what do they do when your finger gets chopped off? So they say, get to the hospital really quickly. We're going to try to reattach the finger, no? But gentlemen, you want to hear the biggest chumra in Judaism? If that finger is cut off by a kohen, the kohen can't hold his own finger and run to the hospital because that the finger reattached, no? Because a kohen can't be metami to Aver Min Hachai, even if it's his own Aver. So the Sefer Nishmas Avram, it's like the medical sefer, Dr. Abraham Abraham. Actually, Dr. Abraham Abraham's wife was my father's secretary. My father ran the Federation of Baltimore. Dr. Abraham at that point did not know Yiddish. So when he wanted to get his smicha for Rav Moshe, my father drove him to Rav Moshe so he got his smicha, whatever it is. That's my connection to Dr. He actually, right now he's not so on. He's a Refor Shleima, but he responds to emails. You can send him shoutouts, he responds to emails. It's kind of cool. Rav Schechter, on a few occasions, I asked him like medical halacha shayles. He's like, yes, Dr. Abraham, he gets a geshmak when he gets shayles, etc. So in the Neshem Savram, he quotes that he asked the Tzitz Eliezer, what does a kohen do if his own finger gets cut off? Again, I'm talking about a finger that has basar gidim and atzamos. Let's say the finger gets cut off over here, so you have a full aver of basar gidim and atzamos, like the top of the finger, no? Whatever it is. But can the kohen carry his aver? So one of the Talmidei Chachamim around says, once they attach the aver, that's not an aver menachai, it's a chelak of the chai. Right? Aver menachai means you have a detached limb. Igloi Moslem Afreya, that wasn't detached. So the Tzitz Eliezer says he thinks there's a raya from a Gemara in Nida that this is not true. Igman Nida has a discussion about the Ben Hashunamis, whether he was dead or not. And the Gemara, Taisus quotes the Gemara, that only had to for Eliyahu Anovi to come talk with Ben Hashunamis is because it's Vadai Pikuach Nefesh. We don't say that Igloi Moslem Afreya, that the guy was alive, so therefore there's no Tumah. Right? Right now it's dead. So therefore there is an Isser Tuma in that case. That's what Tzitzeliezer Tainus. Nonetheless, he quotes that Rav Shlomo Zalman, that Tzitzeliezer had a different kula. There's a discussion about Sakonas Eiver in Halacha. We know that in Hilcha Shabbos, for example, there's a Chola She'yesh Bo Sakana, that we do everything. Chola She'ein Bo Sakana, that Amir Lanachmi is permitted. And we have a Mechush Ba'alma, that you can't even take medicine on Shabbos, right? Those are three basic categories. What about Sakonas Eiver in Hilcha Shabbos? What about if I have a limb that won't function if you don't treat it on Shabbos? So there is a Taisvis in Sukkah, I think on Chof Ches, where the Taisvis in Sukkah says, in his opinion, Sakonas Eiver is like the Kohel Nefesh on Shabbos. The problem is that Taisvis is a mistake in the Girsa. If you look in the better Girsa in the Taisvis HaRosh, there ain't no such thing. There are Rishonim who say that Sakonas Eiver you are Mechal Shabbos for. Then I believe the Sri De'esh has this. I believe the Malam Lahoel has it. Rav Shechter has a piece about this in the Sefer Be'ikvei Atzon in terms of Hanhagas Harofe on Shabbos. He has an essay about that. So he talks about this issue. So Sakonas Eiver, Rav Shechter feels, and I think most Achrayim feel, that we're not Machal Shabbos B'doi Reis or Sakonas Eiver, that here's in the Taisus is wrong. Nonetheless, the Shach writes in Siman Kuf Nun Zayin that for Sakonas Eiver, I violate every other Isser in the Torah, just not Chol Shabbos. That would emerge that you're going to violate the Isser of Tumas Kehanim for Sakonas Eiver. What that would mean is that not only is the Kohen himself allowed to carry his own finger to the hospital to get his own finger reattached, but any other Kohen could carry the finger also because, okay. So these are some of the discussions about a Kohen not being Metamei to an Eiver Minachai. We mentioned that Eiver has to be Basar Gidim Atzamais, an internal organ. You have your appendix that comes out. That's not a problem. We spoke about the Machlokas or Moshe and the Noda Bihuda, whether it requires Kavura, fundamentally, whether it's just a Din that a Kohen can't be Metamei. Mr. Danesh.
Yeah, and so if that happens on Shabbos,
Pashtus is what happens on Shabbos. You have to get a guy to do it, right? Pashtus is you can't do a dairais on Shabbos, yeah, for a Sakana Sefer. It happens that just for those, my son's a big guy in Hatzalah. Actually, if you look at the Hatzalah for Washington Heights' ad, they're in the middle of the Hatzalah fundraiser, so there's a picture of my son. You saw the ad?
I did. I'm playing the patient
now. Oh, you're playing the patient?
Yeah.
I can't tell because like your head is facing away from the camera, but Baruch is playing the Hatzalah guy. So my son is like into Hatzalah. He's like obsessed with this stuff. So what do you do about you get a call on Hatzalah for a case of Sakonas Eiver? You have like a dislocated bone in the arm or something like that. Do you take the guy to the hospital? The pashtus is that we do deraisas for Sakonas Eiver, not because fundamentally we hold you do deraisas, but every Sakonas Eiver we assume is a sakana, is a suffix Sakonas Bekuach Nefesh. Because if you have a bone that's like sticking out, right, it could be it's going to destroy some artery or something, and it's Mamish Bekuach Nefesh in that case. It could be there's going to be a clot that could go up to the heart, whatever it is. So we always treat Sakonas Eiver like Sakonas Bekuach Nefesh. There was a case in the Heights a few years ago. There's a Sakonas Eiver Shaila. I felt they could go to the hospital. Rav Mantel was like very upset. The Breuer's Rav, whatever it was. One of the Hatzalah guys had a son shortly after. So the Torah he gave that his son's bris was about Sakonas Eiver and being Machal Shabbos for Sakonas Eiver. Rav Mantel's there, just like, whatever. Akiva. So if it's if it's partially attached, or that's considered mechubar, I don't think katishir would be relevant. I think the sigis and shin ayin about what it means that you're decapitated and how much it has to be attached might be relevant. That's quite a gross.
No, I mean, like, that's like a small part of it.
Yeah, it's a gross conversation. Like, I don't want to have that conversation, Akiva. Thank you for bringing it up. Very much appreciated. Okay. The din is that a kohen cannot be metame to a golo or to a dofek. What is golo? What is dofek? Three shitas in Rishonim. The shita of Rashi is that golo is the kisoi ha'aron, and the dofek are the defunos of the aron. That's Rashi shita. Right? The cover of the coffin, golo. The walls, dofek. So din d'oraisa, by the way, v'chol asher yiga pnei hasode, asher yiga pnei hasode means golo and dofek. That's what the Gemara says. So the Baalei HaTosfos asks on Rashi, one second, if I'm going golo dofek from, if golo dofek means the coffin, how's that al pnei hasode? You don't usually just leave a coffin hanging al pnei hasode. You bury the coffin. Now that's what we spoke about yesterday, that you are in violation of the iser of halonas hameis, if you put the mace in the coffin and you don't bury it. So therefore, the Baalei HaTosfos have a disagreement with Rashi, and they have two mahalchim. One mahalach in the Baalei HaTosfos, this is in the Tosfos HaRosh, and Tosfos seems to allude to this in a number of places, in Maseches Sukkah Chaf Gimel and elsewhere, that goyelol means when I bury the mace in the cave. So I have golol, I have a rock, right, that covers up the cave. And dofek are like the little stones that keeps the rock in place. That probably makes the most sense among Rishonim. Now, that pshat means, it just makes sense. A golol and dofek, a golol is the rock, right, that covers the ma'ara, and dofek are the little stones that hold the rock in place. The Rabbeinu Tam, however, says that in his opinion, golol is the matzeva, and dofek is the stones that hold the matzeva. Some of the Achrayim say that there are two different types of matzevas. Like in Eretz Yisrael, very often you have like a flat matzeva. Often in the Batek Forest in America, you have a matzeva that just sticks up. So some say it's only called a golol if it is lying down, not if it sticks up. Rav Cohen quotes this from the Shuvas of the Prima Godim. Hard to know exactly why. It's hard to know also the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam and of Rashi, right? The Gemara has a discussion whether you can use an animal as a goyel and a dofek. Like, come on, right? And that, when are you going to use an animal as the top of a coffin, right? And even if an animal is a matzeva, maybe, right? The guy liked dogs, so you put a dog up there. I don't know. It don't make sense that the matzeva is going to be some animal. But b'kitzer, that's the shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. Now, if you hold that a kohen, we pass and a kohen can't be metame to golo and to dofek. And it's unclear how I pass in terms of the definition of golo and dofek in Shin Ayin Gimel. In Shin Ayin Gimel, it says that a kohen is only allowed to be metame achyistim ha-golo. The Shach over there in Osir Aleph has a discussion what Golol is. The Shach writes that even then, according to Rashi, that Golol is the Aron. Golol is only the Aron once it's in the ground and covered by something. But some of the Achrayim say that we pass like the Rabbeinu Tam, that Golol is the Matzeva. Would that mean that you can't be Matame to a Matzeva? That a Kohen, right? So in the Pesach Tshuva, here in Shin Samach Tes, Os Dalet, he quotes a funny Shulach Sam Sofer, that some guy walks into the backyard of an Arab and there's a big stone and they turn over the big stone and it says something like Po Nitman Zacharia, whatever. So the Sam Sofer has like three sfeikas, like maybe to be Mako on this Shaila, maybe you can't believe, and the people in town are saying that the Jews used to live here. Right, the Matzeva was like from hundreds of years ago. There's a date on the Matzeva. People say Jews used to live here. We don't know Jews lived there for any amount of time. So this is the whole discussion of Chassam Sofer that the Pesach Tshuva quotes. Do you believe the guy that there's kvaros? Maybe there were kvaros over here, but there's no longer any bones. Maybe if there were bones, the bones are completely disintegrated. There's no tumah at all. Whoa, dude, what's going on? There's no bones, and therefore what? The matzeva is not tamei? If matzeva is goylal, according to Rabbi Nutam, it's tamei, even if there's no bones underneath it, no? That's the din goylal. The claim can't be matami to goylal, right? It's not that goylal is when there are bones there. If there are bones there, l'chayra, the claim is being matami to meis. So what does Rabbi Nutam mean? Apparently, you see from the Chassam Sofer, and many Achronim have this, that the din of golal is the cover, the matseva on a kever where there are bones, but me'ez sibashahi, there is no tuma mitzad the bones, because you have like a poseach tefach or something, right? One of the svaris to be mako flying with the airplanes that flying over batek faris is that you usually have a tefach between the nifter and the top of the coffin. If you have a tefach, that's called the kever sosum, and the tumah doesn't spread out of it. Now, it's a little bit difficult because if I bury mesim in a coffin, so the coffin is under a lot of dirt, and it's wood. Over time, the wood is going to crack, and then the dirt's going to end up being on the nifter himself directly, and it will be tumah ritzutza, which is bokasa ola adarakia. It's going to be squash tumah. It's not going to be a kever sosum. In Eretz Yisrael, it might be a little bit better because they don't bury people in coffins. They bury people just the body straight. But the minhag slash din is that it's considered a bazillion to the mace to just shovel dirt on the corpse itself. So they have what they call blokim. Blokim are cinder blocks that they cover the mace with before they've filled in with dirt, right? Mortuary man, right? That's what they do. So those cinder blocks are less likely to fall apart, less likely to cave in. So in the Journal Yeshurin, volume 10, 11, when this whole issue was going on, one of the Talmidei Chachamim wrote that there's no problem of the graves in Eretz Yisrael because it's going to be a suffix tumah. Because even if you're flying over a cemetery, and they hit the taste, you're flying over these graves that already collapsed. Many of the graves didn't collapse. And then I get involved in the other shayla, can I claim be metame the suffix tumah? And in this case, suffix tumah versus harabim, because there's a lot of people in the airplane. Right? That's already part of it. It's a lambda shachat, right? It's a lambda shachat. But b'kitra ma'asa, when the Rabbeinu Tam says that golol is matame, golol means matzeva, what that probably means is that the atzamais are not creating tuma because it's a kever sosum, but the matzeva on top is a din golol, it's al pnei hasada, the matzeva is on the field, so golol is matame. But the Chassam Sofer is saying, and the Chachmas Adam in the Tshuva Matzeves Moshe and the Kunchus Matzeves Moshe also says this, that we paskin that the tumah of Golal is only when there's a mace underneath it. I know people who actually, it's like a thing, no? You could like have tombstones, no? There's a kind of lot to walk in the house when there are tombstones, so the Matzeves Moshe is Megal. There's a din in Shin Samachtes that a Kohen is not allowed to go into Eretz Ha'amim. A Kohen can't go into Eretz Ha'amim. Shach Osbeis writes, this din is only true b'zman shehaya Eretz Yisrael b'tahara. They can't go from Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Ha'amim, etc. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Maharit in the name of Shvus Yaakov that even b'zman hazeh, there's an Isser. That's a tremendous chumrah. That means that Kohanim are not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Kohanim can't leave Eretz Yisrael because it says in Simon Shin Samachtes, a Kohen can't be Matameh to go into Eretz Ha'amim. Now, what's the problem exactly in Eretz Ha'amim? Why is it a problem? So the Shach writes that the Goyim bury their dead people everywhere. Eretz Yisrael, right? Mostly Yidden over time. You don't have to assume that there's dead bodies everywhere. Some say that the pshat is a little more midrashic. The Mesei Mabel, are everywhere in the Chutz La'aretz. People died in the deluge, in the Mabul. Chazal say that the Mabul didn't spread to Eretz Yisrael. So Memela, there's no tumma of dead bodies in Eretz Yisrael. There are a few other Peirushim over here. Maybe it's Damazai Gezerah, that we don't want you to leave Eretz Yisrael. Maybe maybe there is a lot of Yidden. Unfortunately, I think the historian Selo Baron said that Jewish history, the pages of Jewish history are written with blood, not with ink. And there could be that there are dead Yidden everywhere. It's not dead Goyim, it's dead Yidden. But whatever it means, we have to figure out why we are Mekol L'maisa for Kaihanim to leave Eretz Yisrael. This tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov has two reasons to be machmir. One reason is we have a halach of Dover Sheben Minyan Tzach Minyan Acher L'Hatiro. Chazal instituted a din of Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. Don't give me this drasha that only applies when Eretz Yisrael is B'Tahara. It's a taklan of Chazal. You can't leave. Moreover, Shulchan Aruch quotes it in that a Kayin can't leave Eretz Yisrael. Shulchan Aruch is living after this man that they eat chulin b'tahara, right? They don't do that no more. So how come Shulchan Aruch says you can't leave Eretz Yisrael? It could be that Taka, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael if you're a Kohen. It's not Pashut. Next issue that comes up is Azoy. Is a Kohen allowed to be metame to cherev harehu kecholol? There's a din of cherev harehu kecholol, which is a din of tuma. Some Rishonim understand that it's only the murder weapon. Some Rishonim understand it's any metal item. Some Rishonim understand it's even a non-metal item. But if you have an item that's in contact or near in proximity of a mace, maybe in the same oil, so can you be metame? Can a kohen be metame to cover a kecholol? So here's a Tosefta that says that kol tuma she'ein hanozir megaleach olav ein hakohen muzer olav. Based on the question is, do I hold like this Tosefta? I don't hold like this Tosefta. So Rabbi Natan says, in his opinion, a kohen is not allowed to be metame to cover a kecholol. The Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen responds to the Rabbeinu Tam based on the pasuk. Ezeh bayis asher tivnu li, ezeh makom enu chasi. Meaning, Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen is saying, one second, cherev harei kecholol means anytime there's, let's say, a metal spoon in the house where somebody dies, so a kohen can't go into that house. Ezeh bayis asher tivnu li. Ver kenuch gein. Where can I go? I can't go anywhere. No? Not Pashut. Shulchan Aruch has a Ramah and a Shin Samach Tes. Yesh Omrim, the Kohanim Asum Nitamei, Lecharev Kachol, Lecharev Shinitma B'meis. Yesh Mekilin, V'cheinah Hagul Lahakel. Rav Shachta says it's all totally in the same issue. Is the din, Lecharev Kachol, the din of Tumah? But it's not krevel lemeis if you have a spoon there. This, of course, led to a big kula as follows. Is a kohen allowed to study to be a doctor? So the pashtus is that it's osir, no? To study anatomy, there used to be a TV show, Gross Anatomy, no? To study to anatomy, you dissect a corpse. A corpse is dead. Even if it's a goyish corpse, you have to assume most of the corpses that you're going to work with are goyim. If it's a goyish corpse, we paskin that we should be machmer and kivreyakum. That's mitame goyim. And even if you hold that we're mekol and kivreyakum, but kivreyakum for sure mitame, dead goyim for sure mitame, b'mago b'masa. Right, so if you're working on anatomy, you're touching the mace. So is there any heter for a Kohen to learn medicine. The Pashtus is absolutely not. The Moshe has this in the Nishmas Avram. He quotes everybody who has this, etc. Rabbi Eli Konigsberg is Rosh Hashiva here, so his wife's a doctor. What? His father's a doctor, right? His father's a doctor, his wife's a doctor. So what do you do in these cases? So these are Talmidei Chachamim. They figured stuff out, what to do. In terms of like the box of bones, during, I think, your second year of medical school, you're supposed to bring a box of bones home at night. So what do you do? Right? You have to ask Rabbi Konigsberg, right? It's totally gross in my opinion. But okay, but yeah, after ask Rabbi Konigsberg, he worked something out in terms of not becoming tamei to the box of bones. I have a Talmud, Yossi Cohen, Rabbi Dr. Yossi Cohen. How did he become a doctor? So he went to medical school in Haifa. Now in certain medical schools, they use what's called virtual cadavers. Meaning that you're not, that they actually can make like a rubber zach that is similar enough, like you feel like you're cutting human skin. It gives you the same thing. So that's not an issue. Again, some people say in the better medical schools, you want to go to Harvard or Yale Medical School, you're still going to have a real cadet, right? But in some of the other medical schools, he Dafka went to Haifa for medical school to be able to have his virtual cadaver. Okay. Rav Shlomo Goren, chief rabbi, had a kula azai. He says, you know what? The minig is that we're making Cherev Aryeh Kocholol. So let the Kohen take a spoon, a watch, some metal thing that was in the proximity of a mace, and then let the Kohen wear that watch while he's working on the mace. And therefore, he's already tamei. And you can rely on the Ravid that what? That once you're already tamei, there's no din of Hosafas Tuma, Savala Tuma. So highly questionable.
But isn't this case where you're holding on to that mace, even the Rambam would say it's okay.
So in this case, you're mamish holding on to the mace. Well, would that mean if I'm mamish holding on to cheref or kechol? So again, it could be that according to the Rambam also it's okay, and a chanami, because I'm holding the mace. I have a mace, my cheref or kechol on my finger. Right, so maybe according to the Rambam it's okay. That's what I'm going to say, you're right. So what's the pshat over here? So Rav Shechter does not like this kula at all, and actually going to the big kveyatzon. He says, how come we're making Cherev Aryeh Kecholol? I'm making Cherev Aryeh Kecholol because it's a din of tuma, and the Isser of Kohanim is a din of kreva. But you can't say that because you're tamei, you're wearing the watch, that you have a heter of kreva and mace, you have a heter to be in the same oil. Moreover, l'cha'ora won't help for tumas maga nasa. Right, if I'm in medical school, I have to do dissections. No, I'm not much touching the mace. Rav Goren was very creative. It's a nice attempt at a kula, but it's a very difficult thing. It's very difficult to be makel on Kohanim going to medical school. At least it was a few years ago until they developed virtual cadavers. I remember when Yossi Cohen. He's in the Yad and Yadin. I think he's finishing Yad and Yadin now. So Rabbi Reese gives him a bechina to get into Yad and Yadin. So Yossi says, oh, I'm in medical school. Rabbi Reese is like, you're a Kohen. What are you doing in medical school? How did that work? So Yossi's like, no, it's virtual cadavers. So Rabbi Reese said, wow, that's already. Rabbi Reese himself is a Kohen, no? That's why he's more sensitive to the Tumas Kohanim issues. If you'd be a Kohen trying to get into Smicha, he'd namish grow you on Tumas Kohanim. Okay, these are some of the sugyas that we wanted to discuss. It says in Shin Ayin about entering a bias sheyesh bo goseis. We spoke about how that also depends on Rav Shechter's kula. The ha'ara that we had basically today is that if we're right that there are two psukim from Itzal Aponovich is right, the nefesh lo yitam of ba'amav and al kol nafshos meis lo yavo, then it could be that both dinim are true against Rav Shechter, who assumes that we paskin that the din is kreva the mace. Gentlemen, have a great day, and we should not have to deal with mason.